In this episode, discover how to improve your sales results by appealing to customer psychology.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
Hey now. All right. I'm in the studio and I'm just about to go back on the road. Many amazing things are happening in my career and here at Wirebuzz. I'm not at liberty to tell you about it yet, except it's effing mind-blowing. We have some remarkable things in development. I'm going to be on ginormous stages coming soon, more info. And we're in the process of advising one of the biggest names, I don't know, maybe in the whole world. And Marcus Krieg and I will be going out on location to work with this superstar in a couple of weeks. You might see some photos if you're following us on social. I would recommend that you go through like a cyber sleuth, and if you see me post something, just extrapolate what I just said over to this mega celebrity. We are having a ton of fun. And on this episode, I want to talk to you about customer psychology. And really, I want to talk to you about how you use psychology to advance your sales results, right? I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, what we're always talking about here on Video Marketing Mastery, it's really not always about video. It's always about the end results that people get from video, which is improving your sales results. And one of the things that I'm obsessed with, I suspect you are too, is how video and smart video marketers are now seeing this transition that I'm living through, which is how we become the trusted gurus of major businesses. Because look, if you understand how to move somebody through a logical thought sequence and bring them to a buying decision, and you specialize in any type of content, you can be elevated quickly into that inner circle with very big companies. This is part of what I've been teaching here for these 200 plus episodes. It's not really about video, it's about the end goal. Right? And so video marketers that could command the right ROI and generate it for their clients and to get a lift up on their sales results and turn their profit line into a hockey stick up a chart, those are the people that get pulled in deeper to their clients and become a valued asset to those companies that they service. And it is my hope that I'm giving you the tidbits and the tricks along the way so you could do this for your business and your client's business. I mean, that's my big value add, right? It's not really about video. It's about the end results that you get from video when you know how to lay out the right strategy. Now, in this episode, I'm particularly passionate about customer psychology and how we position offers to move them incrementally through the logical thought sequence so buying from us becomes an irresistible, pressing priority. Got it? And so if you look back through the history of where this buyer psychology comes from, you know, a lot of people would think that it comes from salespeople that interact and press flesh daily with clients. And in many cases, I would agree, but it's also like a compilation of a salesperson on the floor, meeting a client, a marketer that's watching the analytics, the video creator that's inspiring and telling a story and dropping the right music bed at the right time that evokes emotion. So that affected buyer now has the emotion to drive for the sale. Like all of that stuff gets wrapped up together. But one of the big areas that we haven't spent a lot of time on this podcast talking about is this like direct-to-consumer marketing or these infomercials. Because, you know, the infomercial people, they've already mastered it. And that's why at 2 a.m. after a bunch of Frosties, you sit in front of your TV for an hour and you violate all the conventional wisdom that people have about video. Oh, no, it's got to be short. That video's got to be 60 seconds or 30 seconds. But after you have a far too many Mickey's Big Mouths. Brandon, you know what a Mickey's Big Mouth is? So Mickey's Big Mouth is like malt liquor. And it's like, They have 40 ounces that are called, I think, Hornet's Nest. And if you're drinking that stuff at 2 in the morning, you're going to be watching an infomercial. And by 2:45, you're going to be buying right when they say, but wait, there's more. And you reach in your wallet and you make a purchase. And these infomercial people are frigging masters at it. And that's why I wanted to talk with Corey Bergeron. Now, Corey has been mastering the art of taking television audiences and running them through an infomercial so they buy at faster rates. And there's a whole lot we can learn as online video marketers from watching and learning how people have mastered doing it on television. Borrow bits and pieces, but you're going to learn a whole lot from this interview with Corey. I'm joined right now by Corey Bergeron. Now, Corey is a pitch. He's from Pitch Media, and that's a digital ad agency, a video production company. Corey is a master of customer psychology and the buying decision, which means the two of us are going to start nerding out hardcore. Corey, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Todd. I appreciate you letting me be here with you.
Corey, you've had a great career, man. Like, I look at your bio and I was like, oh, I know this guy. I've heard about him. I've seen this and that. I bought that product, you know, and I got the second one for free. Give people a background on you. Like, what, you know, Corey, where have you been and what have you been doing? Because you've been doing some remarkable stuff.
All right. Well, I started my career as a live television director in television retail. So my job was to partner with brands and inventors selling products, come up with the best presentations possible. And then I was ultimately responsible for the broadcast of the Home Shopping Network. And, you know, we're talking 90 million households that broadcast is going into. And success is really measured in how many thousands of dollars per minute you're making. So as a director, you are the heartbeat of the show. I was actually sitting there and watching real-time sales monitors, and I could see the amount of incoming phone calls, the amount of people putting it in their shopping cart on hsn.com, the amount of people talking to customer service reps, and the most expensive thing any network pays for is satellite time. So it was my job to maximize moment to moment that satellite time by showing the viewership what they needed to see and hear, and more importantly, what they needed to feel in order to commit to a buying decision and make the maximum thousands of dollars per minute that we could make at the time. So it was really cool because I've literally sat in that chair for tens of thousands of product presentations over a period of about a decade, and was ultimately responsible for making sure that we were maximizing the amount of on-air dollars we could make, but still doing justice to each product and each presenter, making sure that we were being, with a company like HSN or the Home Shopping Network, what it was known as back then, it's all about the relationship. You want people coming back and buying from you over and over again. So we needed to make sure that we were nurturing that warm, open relationship with our customer at the same time. It wasn't just about getting the sale in the moment. It was also about making sure they came back to us over and over.
And, because there's an important community element and a human-to-human connection that people make when they're involved with HSN and they're involved with any type of buying decision. Can right. you talk to me about how do you facilitate a relationship when to a normal viewer it feels very impersonal, but when you're creating the content the right way, it feels hyper relevant to that end user?
Yeah. So all of that is done. And there are a number of different ways I can answer that question, but probably the biggest one, it's done with stories. That's what connects to a viewer. It's what makes the entire broadcast, the entire presentation feel as though it's relevant to their lives. It makes them engage and say, that person knows what it's like to stand in my shoes and I believe them. That whole warm relationship takes place because they're able to see somebody's face on the other side of the screen. It's video. And they're able to experience through that person's stories their own history and say, ah, that person is selling a solution to something that they've experienced that's just like my own experiences. I want a piece of that.
All right, I love all about this. Okay, I like everything here. So what I'm typically hearing inside of my dome when I'm a customer, and this magical love connection happens between me and the person in the video, I usually am like, oh, cool, they get me. All right, this is for me. Right now I'm nodding my head and I'm like, oh, I've got that pain also, or I deal with that issue. Yeah, this is for me. And then I start getting more and more excited. So part of this, when we're creating content, and you guide me if I get off track, is making alignment at the very beginning. How do we see eye to eye and connect? Yeah. And then how do I tell a story that resonates emotionally? Because as you know, an emotionally unaffected buyer will not buy, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So like all those things, is it for you something that just comes naturally, or do you have to orchestrate this?
Okay, so yes and yes.
Right.
When I was 13 years old, I sold my father a new pair of work boots as he was standing in our driveway. And he told me, he said, Corey, you'll probably go on to do a lot of things in your life. You're a talented guy. But if you don't make your living as a salesman, you will have totally missed your calling. You know, and I, you know, it's funny because if you had told me that back then, I would have said, no way, you know, I'm going to be an astronaut and a professional DJ and a surfer. You know, I never had it in my mind that I would be a salesman, but it's incredible because when you take the standpoint as a salesman that you are there to help people uncover the needs that they have in their lives and then offer them solutions that they were not aware existed, it makes you a problem solver for people. Salesman itself is something that has had a connotation to it for a very long time, and in some cases a negative connotation. But when you're helping people solve problems in their lives with solutions they were not aware of, I mean, hey, the great Zig Ziglar said it, right? If it wasn't for great salesmen, Thomas Edison never would have had a light bulb and Henry Ford never would have given us the vehicle.
Right.
They needed to be great salesmen in order to be able to start those cultural shifts and to start changing people's mind to see solutions they hadn't previously considered. So yes, natural talent, that is a part of it. Now, the second half of your question, yes, there's a system to it as well. There's a formula that if you understand how to apply that formula as a foundation to the content that you produce and the sales message that you create, you have a much higher probability of success.
Absolutely, man. Okay, do me a favor. Tease me in the audience on some products that you've been a part of that we would know.
Okay. So I gave you the first half of my history, which was as a director. I then became one of the only people in the history of the network to go from behind the camera to in front of it. And I've been the face of about 350 different products on national networks, HSN, QVC, through television commercial and infomercial. And in the midst of that, I've had some big successes. So I remember going on the air one day with an air conditioner by the company DeLonghi. They make a lot of great high-end products engineered in Italy. And we did $2 million in sales in an hour. And that was something that was like a big benchmark for that particular category at the company. I sold 118,000 car jump starters in a single day.
Wow.
That was a Cyber Monday deal back in 2013. I was asked by Microsoft to launch the Xbox Kinect in North America. And I did that on the Home Shopping Network. And it's really funny because Wolfgang Puck was coming up in the next hour and he was still sitting in the makeup chair. And I sold $96,000 a minute of Xbox Kinects and sold them out. Now, to put that in perspective, on the networks, a successful product is one that's selling maybe $3,000 to $4,000 a minute. If you're selling $6,000 to $10,000 a minute, then you're a special product. You're probably going to get into prime time. They're going to put you in the high stakes hours when they make the most money. If you're selling over that, then you're just an uncommon product that nobody's ever heard of before. At $96,000 a minute, it was a record for the company. And we actually sold out of the product to the point where there was nothing left to sell. And they ran into the green room and grabbed Wolfgang Puck out of his chair, threw a microphone on him and pushed him out on the air about 10 minutes early. He had to start selling cookware because we had no electronics left to sell.
Oh, the problems, right? Like, how awesome is that? Like, how lucky would we all be when we crush our big quota and then we can just go, and here's Wolfgang Puck. Take it away, right? So I love that. I love hearing that story. And tell me now, what is Pitch Video? What do you guys do? What are you known for?
Okay. So Pitch Video was actually just rebranded to Pitch Media. And the reason we did that was we felt a very strong push to represent with the title of our company, everything that we deliver. We are a video production company and digital marketing agency. We specifically focus on product sales because that is my background. And we know how to push forward the message from first contact to committing to buy in a way that very few people have insight into. My entire team that works here in the company, they all come from a product sales background. I don't need to teach them what a money shot looks like. They already know. And that's what we do day in and day out. We help online brands and vendors sell their products on the internet.
Okay, super cool. So what is the most common mistake that people make when they're trying to create video that's going to convert somebody into a customer?
Right. So you and I have already talked about stories and the emotional connection and how important that is. I think the most common problem I see is that people focus on the features of a product rather than focusing on the benefits and the outcome of the product, right? So for instance, when we sold cookware on Home Shopping, and you can go look at this any day of the week, you can pull up one of those networks and watch a cooking show, they spend about 20% of the time showing the actual cookware and about 80% of the time showing the food that it made.
Right.
Why do they do that? Because you don't buy cookware simply because it's cookware. You buy cookware because you want the delicious food that comes out of it. You don't buy a drill because you need a drill. You buy a drill because you need a hole. That's the point. You focus on the benefit, the outcome, the emotional payoff for the person who's watching. And I think too many engineers and inventors get tied up with the features that make those benefits possible rather than focusing on the benefits.
Sell the benefits at the end. What are they going to get? What is that feeling? And something tells me that you would naturally, in your process of talking about a product, would start to tell a story. Right? You'd go, you would, like, if we're selling cookware, and this is right off the top of my head, as I would have it here, I would say, and my wife and I were cooking over the weekend, and now I've just segued you from being in a sales experience into you sitting at home, and I'm going to tell you a personal story. It's going to have a laugh and a payoff, but then I'm going to circle back on why none of this would have worked without this product, right? It works
right
in ways like that, because that audience needs to feel as if they know you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right from the beginning. And really, when you tell those stories and you reach out to the listener or to the viewer, what you're saying is, I've stood in your shoes and here's a story to validate that I know what I'm talking about. When I sold that car jump starter, I said I sold 118,000 of them in one day. That was a big record. When I started that sales presentation, I would look into the camera and I would say, listen, it never happens at the right time. I know I had to get my kids to school in the morning because my wife worked, and you get in the garage, you turn the key, and you hear that click, 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 click that tells you your car isn't going to start. Your battery doesn't have enough power. That is horrible. Your heart sinks into your stomach right away and your brain starts racing. How am I going to get these kids to school on time? I know, I've been there. It's happened to me. My daughter Danica was late over and over and over again because my car wouldn't start. I eventually replaced my battery and then replaced my car. But there were day after day that I had to walk in and look her teacher and her principal in the eye and say, I'm sorry. It's not her fault. It's my fault that she's here late. It's a terrible feeling. Don't put yourself in that situation. I've got a way for you to get your car started in less than 10 minutes without ever leaving the comfort of your driver's seat.
So I like this because you've addressed the problem. You've humanized it and also made that problem feel so ordinary that it could happen to anybody that is watching. And then you agitated that problem by talking about the emotion that you felt by going in and having to talk to the teacher or a counselor or a principal and what that pain felt like, but you could have easily solved it with. And then by doing that, you've now naturally, effortlessly introduced the solution, because who doesn't want to have that problem in their life, right?
Oh, right.
And, okay, so that's awesome. When you're planning out a video project, what is the process that your team goes through at Pitch Media? See how I did that? I already rebranded you just like that. Bam.
Yeah. Bam! I appreciate that. So the most important thing to understand right from the start is the goals of our client. We have a number of people that call us up and they say, I've got this big goal and it's awesome, but I've got this vision and here's how I'm going to get there. I'm going to use this vision to achieve this goal. And we absolutely will not allow people to sabotage themselves. And we end up with a number of clients that do that. I know you can relate to this, right? So people call up and they think that they've got their answer. The problem is their vision is great, but their vision is not going to get them to the goal that they want to get to. So we have to kind of consult with our client right from the beginning to say, all right, here's your goal. Now we want to speak a little wisdom into your business and help you identify the project, the video project, the marketing project, whatever it is, the pathway to get from where you are now to that goal. And it might not be the vision that you had, but it will be something that will get you there. So establishing that goal first is absolutely critical. And then from there, we go into concepting what the solution is going to be that's going to help them meet that goal. We then go into creative and we take it right down through the line to our planning process, eventually planning our video shoot. We are video production specialists. So although we do a lot of digital marketing, we always want to give those marketing initiatives the most powerful, most converting tool on the planet, which is video. So in our marketing initiatives, we almost always try and incorporate a video project because we know that that's going to give a much greater chance of success.
Yeah, video is an accelerant, right? It's like pouring gasoline on a fire. It just makes everything accelerate. Email or search or traffic or conversion. So all of that's super cool. Now, when you're using video and taking people on an emotional journey, what does that look like? And do you bake that into every video?
Every video. It doesn't matter if that video is 15 seconds long as a teaser, or if it's a 60-second long, landing page video. It doesn't really matter. We're always taking people on an emotional journey. I have a saying by Maya Angelou. You might be familiar with it. It's actually in letters on the wall of our studio, so that every single person who works in this company sees it every day and understands that it is the underlying foundation for everything we do. And that is, people will forget what you say, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget the way you made them feel. And if you think about it, from a sales point of view, Maya Angelou had a big message to sell, right? The whole civil rights movement, she was an author, she was a public figure. She had a huge message that she had to sell to a lot of people, and she understood that if she could make them feel something significant, that was the heavy lifting. Yeah. After that, everything was pretty much, a walk in the park. She had to get them to feel something significant and predictable. Well, that's what video does. We can establish that emotional connection in a very short period of time, and we can help people along that journey. So the journey is very simple. The journey starts with identifying a pain point, something that somebody can hear or see and immediately relate into their own lives and say, oh my gosh, that's me too. We then move from that pain point to a solution, but it's very important that you understand that the pain point is not something you spend a lot of time on. You can't. Because when you're tracking the emotional journey of a viewer, people will never make a buying decision unless their emotions have been elevated. The pain point is a depressing moment. It depresses people's emotions. So if you spend too much time on the pain point, you've gone too far south. Because, think about it.
Because we've learned to tune pain out in our life and to move on. And we have to make a transition from that low point to a high point of resolution, of transformation, right? Before they're willing to reach into their back pocket and make a purchase.
Yeah, exactly. So when we talk about that pain point at first, you see it as a springboard. That's all it is. You're jumping from, picture it like a roller coaster. If you spend too much time going downhill, then, the recovery is too difficult. You need to go downhill just a little bit, hit that springboard, and then launch into your solution and spend much more time describing all the benefits of that solution. In reality, people already know what their pain is. You don't need to describe it in huge detail for them to already know where they're at in their own lives. They just want to know that you know what their pain is. So you use that pain point as a springboard, you launch into your solution. Now your solution will take you to a certain point, but then there has to be social data. There's got to be some kind of verifying moment where you say, it's not just what I'm telling you, it's what everybody is telling you. And if you're not doing this, then you're missing out. And that is the significant moment where the testimonial comes in. Right there is the social proof that other people have done this successfully. And if your viewer, your listener, is not taking advantage of it, then they're not getting the same benefit that these other people are getting. That then leads you into your moment of engagement where you can get them to take an action.
So understanding that customer psychology and knowing what triggers into a buying decision is actually vital to bake in at the very beginning with the video in order to be able to command that audience's attention and to get them to take action at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. And I see people make that mistake where they spend a lot of time on the problem and then they'll visit the solution and maybe even loop back to the problem again, which is terrible. You don't ever want to do that.
And then often I'm sure you see people that are just starting with the solution and they forget all the setup, which to me is a lot like dude in bar that walks up to girl at bar and goes straight into selling his solution, which is to go back and see his fish tank at his house. But it's too early for that because you got to connect with them, right? And do all that stuff that nobody really likes to do. But in order for that deal to work, you've got to connect and resonate. You've got to identify with that person. And then the next thing you know, it's fish tank time.
Yeah. And what's beautiful about that whole process, Todd, is just simply the fact that, like I said from the beginning, salespeople really are people that help identify a need and then provide solutions that maybe the viewer or the listener hadn't been aware of to solve their problem. When you're constructing your content that way, it's reaching out to the need of your core audience and saying, hey, if you have this need, then you need to continue to watch this video. You need to engage with me because I'm going to give you a solution. The people who don't have that need aren't going to be watching the video anyway. They're going to go somewhere else. So it's really an awesome way of helping identify right up front. These are the people that need to be watching, and these are the people that shouldn't be watching.
Yeah. We call it panning for gold because what we want to do is get all that dirt out of the pan. So we're only left with gold at the bottom, and the people that are at the end of that video are buyers, right?
Yeah, exactly right.
Yep. But that also means that you've got a dog whistle at the very beginning, so they know that that video is for a very specific audience, and they won't stay around if it's not them.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right. And, so I'm actually writing one right now, writing a script. Right before I walked in here, and it's about, I'm speaking at a medical device marketing event, and my opening sentence is dog whistling to medical device marketers so they know, oh, this is for me. And the next thing I'm doing is I'm talking about the problem and agitating the problem, but not agitating it too long because I want to spring them into the solution and inspire them to take action. Yeah. And I'm working on that downward dip. I'm going to bring them down. I'm going to push them forward. I'm working on that right now. And I've got to write two scripts for them before my appearance. So each one of them has to have its own little divot. And that's the trick, is coming up with something that's unique yet personal to that audience.
It is. And, you know, when you make video and you understand this, you'll take your video and in many cases, you'll pick up different pain points as intros. Yeah. Because when you put it out there in your marketing, you're going to want to split test different versions. You're going to want to appeal and build different audiences. And those people are going to have different pain points. So if I'm, you know, if I'm selling that car jump starter and I'm looking to appeal to moms who rush around and, you know, want to make sure that their car is reliable, that's going to be one pain point. If I'm referring to executive dads who, you know, are nervous about the fact that they might miss a meeting with a core client and now they have to apologize because their car wasn't dependable, or if I'm talking to the college student who can't afford to get a new battery for their car right now but can afford a $20 jump starter to keep in their glove compartment, that these are all different pain points. So you're approaching it with a story that reaches out and touches the heart of each one of those individual people. And that's what engages them and pulls them in and makes them want to see how the video turns out, because you're speaking right to them.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool. Look, I think there's a lot of videos out there. I know there are a lot of people that are concerned about the oversaturation of video, or maybe there's too many videos. Or you got any thoughts on this, Corey?
Yeah, absolutely. So this past February, Forbes magazine released they released some research, and it was really cool because it actually built off of some research that HubSpot did and released at the end of last year. The statistic last year was that 65% of social media viewers that watch video in social media want to see more video from marketers. And that was shocking to me in 2018. And then I saw the new statistic for 2019, which was 85% of more people want to see video from marketers. And then Forbes magazine comes out with this, with their study in February that said videos that are strictly promotional are not going to get the job done.
Right.
People need stories. People need to be wrapped into an experience in social media, because it's a relationship platform. That's what people want, is that a furthering of that relationship. So when you look at all this, why is it that 85% of people who watch video and social media want to see more video from marketers? And I thought, it's because the really effective marketers are the ones telling the stories. And every teenager on earth has a cell phone and is uploading more content in 30 days than every television network has uploaded in the past 30 years. With that being the case, we are so saturated with every single person that can do a selfie video doing it and uploading it, that it's the marketers who stand apart. It's the marketers who put a real budget and a real concept and real talent and a real story behind the message of a brand and get it out there in a unique and creative fashion that people actually hunger for. They want to see more of that.
Yeah.
So when we talk about, you know, is video going to get to the point where it achieves saturation? I don't believe we're headed in that direction at all. As a matter of fact, all the trends say we're going the other way.
Yeah.
People want more.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel the same way. And it's not because I sell video. It's because I'm recognizing this massive customer and prospect expectation that's playing out right now. And if Netflix taught us anything, it taught us that people will sit there if they're interested. In fact, they will sit there all weekend and they will destroy their couch in the process. But if what they're really looking for is being a part of a bingeable experience, and businesses are now approaching this this new opportunity where they're going to create binge-worthy buying experiences for their customers. And the people in this audience are going to be trailblazing that path, because each and every business now has to compete for the ability to communicate a message, to bring people through a journey, to agitate that pain, to tell them a transformational story. And the only way you can do it, you mentioned a word earlier that just stuck in my head. You said video does it predictably. And the reason video does it predictably is because when people read, they skim, they skip down the page, then they get frustrated and they bounce. They skim, skip, bounce. But when people watch a video, they're on railroad tracks, man. They're not skipping ahead. That's not what the data shows. The data shows that people watch the story, and before you know it, they get to the end destination, at least 57% of them, and then they're ready to be set up to make a purchase or want to raise their hand for more information. Corey, give us an idea where people can find you.
If you go to pitchmedia.com, there's a link right there on the page where you can ask for a consultation with me directly. And I'm happy to consult with anybody who's interested in furthering their video endeavors for their company. At the same time, CoreyBergeron.com, which I must apologize for right now, it's in the process of being rebuilt, but CoreyBergeron.com is a great place where you can check out something of my background and kind of see what I'm all about if you're interested.
Because you're a speaker, aren't you?
I am.
And do you have any speaking appearances where people might be able to see you coming up?
Oh, goodness. Well, it depends upon how far out you want to look. I'll be at Traffic and Conversion this year. I'll be speaking there.
Yeah, good.
So if you're a marketer and you happen to be at TNC, I will be out in San Diego. I will also be at the Chicago Houseware Show, which will be early next year. I've got several masterminds I'm involved with that I'm going to be speaking at. I'm speaking at a couple realtor conventions coming up that are scattered in different places. I'm speaking in front of 800 stem cell doctors out in LA in about 2 months. So lots of different, you know, industries. I found that this is a message that people hunger for, regardless of what they're doing. You know, I speak to medical professionals, I speak to realtors, I speak to people selling products. All of them are hungry for this particular information.
Anybody that's in the process of convincing and converting a customer is Absolutely. Somebody that could benefit from the video marketing savvy and the customer psychology that goes into buying decisions like you mentioned in this episode. Corey, so much fun to finally connect with you. Thank you very much. You guys, he's Corey Bergeron. He is the CEO of Pitch Media. Corey, thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Todd. I appreciate it.
Good stuff, Corey. Thank you. Where in Florida are you, dude?
Just outside of Tampa.
Okay, right on. So I'm in Florida often, and I will hit you up the next time I'm in town. Maybe we can grab coffee or a beer or something.
Dude, I would love that.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds great. You're out west, right?
Yeah, we're in Scottsdale, and but you know,
you're right next to my buddies at Sixth Division.
Yes, that's right. And we're right up here by Bob Parson, the founder of GoDaddy's new studios that he built out that are it's a Super Bowl size studio for filming Super Bowl commercials. It's amazing.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's right down the street. We rent the space when necessary and have a lot of fun, but you can fit in like 15 semis to their stage floor. It's quite ridiculous.
That's unbelievable.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
But you know, leave it to GoDaddy.
That's right. Really nice meeting you. If you're ever out this way, hit me up, okay, bud?
You got it, Todd. All Thanks right. a lot.
Take care, Corey. Bye-bye. And thank Elizabeth for me.
I certainly will.
All right, cool. Thanks, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, lots of information now rolling around in my brain, things for me to digest, and I want to make sure that I'm always providing you value, and I think you got that from this last interview. If you would like to know how to select the right topics for your business to make them profitable, we created a topic selection worksheet that's free to the listeners of this podcast, and if you act now, we'll throw in a second content offer for free, right? But you have to act now. At least the first 25 people that act now will get not only our topic selection worksheet at wirebuzz.com/topics, which helps you select the profitable topics for your business. But wait, there's more. And if you act now and you want to figure out how to guarantee that your video projects generate ROI, you know, a return on investment, for everybody that acts now on the topic selection worksheet, I will give you also a separate place to go to get my ROI mini course for free. This is what I'm learning from these infomercial guys, right? Wirebuzz.com/ROI, like return on investment. Go there, get access to it. In over 5 days, I will drop knowledge bombs into your brain so you can be a video marketing master. Peace. Oh, wait. Before you play the music, I'm about to go out on the road. I'm probably going to be out crushing the road for the next 2-3 weeks. I'm going to continue to give you content. I will be in Minneapolis speaking, in Vegas, Los Angeles, and then I will be back home sometime in mid-August. Amazing things are happening, and I will continue along the road to find unique ways for you to pump up the jam in your business results using the power of video, and you'll get that commitment from me. I can't wait to share what's happening along the road. On behalf of Brandon Yamaguchi, myself, the Wirebuzz crew, Marcus Krieg, the big nerd, we're wishing you all continued prosperity and peace.